Make that your priority, Terence said. I have to know if it's safe to send the combat scout teams down. On its following pass, the Cyania released two atmospheric probes. The vehicles were modified versions of the Mark, used by planet survey missions, 3-meter delta-wing robots with a central cylindrical fuselage crammed full of biological sampling and analysis equipment. Both of them pitched up to present their heat shield bellies to the atmosphere, curving down towards the surface as they zero-braked. Once they had fallen below subsonic velocity, air scoop intake ramps hinged back near the nose, and their compressor engines whirred into silent life. A pre-programmed flight plan sent them swooping over the first fringes of the Red Cloud, 15 kilometers to the southeast of Durrigan. Encrypted data passed up to the newly established bracelet of communication satellites. The air was remarkably clear, with humidity 30% down on Lalonde's average. Terence Smith accessed the raw image from a camera in the nose of one probe. It looked as though it was flying over the surface of a red dwarf star, a red dwarf with an azure atmosphere. The cloud, or haze, whatever, was completely uniform, as though, finally, an electromagnetic wavefront had come to rest and achieve mass. Then someone had polished it into a ruby surface. There was nothing to focus on, no perspective, no constituent particles or spores. Its intensity was mechanically constant, an optically impenetrable layer floating 2 kilometers above the ground. Thickness unknown, temperature unknown, radiating entirely in the bottom end of the red spectrum. No real clouds anywhere above it, Joshua murmured. Like most of the fleet's crews, he had accessed the data vias from the atmospheric probes. Something had bothered him about that lack. Ironically, more than the buoyant red blanket itself. Amerisk always had clouds. Sara quickly ran a review of the images the fleet had recorded on their approach, watching the cloud formations. "Oh, my Lord, they split," she said disbelievingly. "About 100 kilometers offshore, the clouds split like they've hit something." She ran the time-lapse record for them, letting the tumbling clouds sweep through their neural mnemonics visualization. Great billowing bands of cumulus and stratocumulus charged across the ocean towards Amerisk's western shoreline, only to branch and diverge, raging away to the north and south of the Julif's mouth. Jesus, what would it take to do that? Not even Kulu tries to manipulate its climate. Joshua switched back to a real-time view from Lady Mac's sensor clusters. A cyclone was being visibly sawed into 2 unequal sections as it pirouetted against the invisible boundary. He ordered the flight computer to open its channel to the Gemmel. "Yes, we've seen it," Terence Smith said. "It has to be tied in with a red cloud cover. Obviously the invaders have a highly sophisticated method of energy manipulation." "No shit. The point is, what are you going to do about it?" "Destroy the focal mechanism." "Jesus, you can't mean that. This fleet can't possibly go into orbit now. With that kind of power available, they'll be able to smash us as soon as we're within range. Hell, they can probably pull us down from orbit. You'll have to abort the mission." "It's ground-based, Calvert. We're sure of that. It can't be anywhere else. The Black Hawks can sense the mass of anything larger than a tennis ball in orbit. You can't disguise mass from their distortion fields. All we have to do is send in the combat scout teams to locate the invaders' bases. That's what we've planned on doing all along. You knew that when you signed on. Once we find the enemy, the starships can bombard them from orbit. That's what you're here for, Calvert. Nobody promised you an easy ride. Now hold formation." "Oh, Jesus." He looked round the bridge to make sure everyone shared his dismay. They did. "What do you want to do? At 5 G's I can get us to a suitable jump coordinate in 12 minutes. Mark." Melvin looked thoroughly disgusted. That bloody Smith, his naval programs must have been written by the most gung-ho admiral in the galaxy. I say jump. "Smith has a point," Warlow rumbled. Joshua glanced over at the big Cosmodink in surprise. Of everyone, Warlow had been the least eager to come. "There is nothing hostile in orbit," the bass voice proclaimed. "It can chop up a bloody cyclone," Ashley shouted. "The red cloud is atmospheric. Whatever generates it affects lower atmospheric weather. It is planet-based, centered on Amerisk. The Blackhawks have not been destroyed. Can we really desert the fleet at this juncture? Suppose Smith and the others do liberate Lalonde, what then?